I don't want to set the world.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country. Maybe there will be.
To chase, at least for a moment, Trump and the maggots off the stage.
There needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there is unrest in our lives.
Donald Trump, I think you need to go back and punch him in the face.
That I thought he should have punched him in the face. I
feel like punching him.
I'd like to take him behind the gym if I were in high school.
If we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
I will go and take Trump out tonight.
Take him out now.
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump.
Show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
Please, get up in the face of some Congress
people. People will do what they do.
I want to tell you, Lord Dutch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price.
We're going to go in there, we're going to...
Well, this is just a warning to you Trumpers. Be careful. Walk lightly. And for those of you who are soldiers, make them pay.
We are your lizard overlords. Stop listening to these preppers. Eat your crickets. Fight in the streets. Own nothing. And love it.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Welcome to the Rising Republic. Hope you like my new intro there. I thought that since they wanted to indict Donald Trump for inciting violence and using the word fight in a speech, to peacefully rally and peacefully protest, that maybe I could put together a little collection of goodies that others before me have collected. And anyway, I found some montages, and so I put this together, and I thought it would be nice to share with you. Welcome to the Rising Republic. I am L. Douglas Hogan, your host, your friend. Hey, I'm your buddy. I'm glad that you're here today, this morning, this evening, this afternoon. Hope you're being safe out there. Today is, what is today's date? Oh, let me check here. Today is January 31st. It's almost February already. And we're getting awfully close to the end of the month and starting a brand new month. And spring is just around the corner. What have I been doing? Well, it's been interesting. And interesting is probably not a good word to explain the times that we're in. But on the 25th of January, I went to Informed Health Choice Missouri in Chesterfield, Missouri, and taught on Agenda 30, which I am now happy to say I have started working on that book. And that will be book 3 in my Patriot series, book 1 being Oath Takers, book 2 being Surviving Martial Law, which I taught on last night with Guardians of Liberty at Delmonico's in Jackson, Missouri. So these groups are inviting me out word of mouth, and the word is getting out, and I'm making new contacts and making new friends. And something interesting happened to me, because I'm always glad to touch someone's life and make a new contact. And last night I met a young lady by the name of Adrienne Ross. And she's a fellow podcaster, a fellow conservative, and she has a podcast show called The Adrienne Ross Show. Anyway, she sent out a newsletter, and the newsletter, I like it. I guess I shook her in a good way, but that's literally her headline in this this newsletter that she sent out. It's shaken by Marine veterans surviving martial law speech at Guardians of Liberty meeting. So I just want to read this to you, but I would also refer you to go find her on Facebook. It's Adrienne. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Adrienne Ross. And she has a conservative talk show that she does podcasts, and she has a Facebook platform also. But she sends this out, and she was also actively promoting me coming just a day or two prior on her podcast, which she mentioned my name and Surviving Martial Law, and that I was going to be there last night, January 30th, at DeMonico's with Guardians of Liberty to teach on this class. So thank you, Adrienne, for that. But she says, I attended the weekly Guardians of Liberty, formerly We the People, meeting at DeMonico's in Jackson, Missouri, Tuesday night. If you follow my Substack on podcast, podcast, The Adrienne Ross Show, you know I advertise the Guardians of Liberty. I also attend as many meetings as I can. Every week, guests share their knowledge and experience on a wide range of topics. Today's presenter was United States Marine Corps veteran and author L. Douglas Hogan, and his topic was surviving martial law. I'm still a bit shaken. And then she has an image of a banner that was made by the Guardians of Liberty crew with me on it and the topic, surviving martial law. Underneath that, she goes on, continues, according to his About the Author section on Amazon, Hogan is a USMC veteran with over 30 years of public service. Among these are 4 years in the Marine Corps, where he served as an anti-tank infantryman and marksmanship instructor, 10 years as a part-time police officer, and over 20 years working in state government doing security work and supervision. Doug also teaches seminars on leadership and anti-totalitarianism, as is reflected in his best-selling books, Oath Takers and Surviving Martial Law. Then she goes on, Hogan's presentation was replete with information. What is martial law? Who declares martial law? How do I survive martial law? More than the content he shared, though, the subject itself is what shook me. My thought, as I sat there, taking it all in, was that I cannot believe we are living in a time when people have to be informed of horrors they could face under what could be the pretense of good. The inclination might be to disregard what he shared as unnecessary, to flippantly say, oh, that'll never happen. However, the veteran and former police officer said something I did not want to hear. The question is not if we have martial law, the question is when. I would have never fathomed that in my lifetime citizens would need to be schooled on what military takeover would look like and instructed on how to survive it. It just never crossed my mind. But seeing what I see in the government now, I can't deny that the possibility has become frighteningly possible. Beyond possibility, she says, one attendee pointed out that it seems we're already there, pointing to government overreach we've already experienced, including but not limited to the response to the coronavirus COVID outbreak. We each witnessed it. But what Hogan described as what's coming down the pike far supersedes the power grabs I've ever seen. Again, more than the content, though, I'm rattled by even the need to discuss it and emphasis on how we can help our chances of being able to live through it. To invite Hogan to speak, learn more about him, and follow his work, find him on his website, ldhogan.com, Facebook page, facebook.com/honoryouroath, and Instagram. Join me in checking out his podcast, too, called The Rising Republic with L. Douglas Hogan, which is on various podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts. And she wraps it up by putting a picture of my podcasting logo on and my Oath Takers book cover that she won, by the way, as a door prize. So that was really cool. She goes on to conclude, no one wants to think about the dangers of biblical proportion that could be awaiting us. And we're seeing the Bible unfold in front of our very eyes. It shakes us, but I'd rather be shaken by information I need to be prepared for and be comfortable with, clueless and caught off guard. So she'd rather be prepared than to be comfortable, clueless, and caught off guard. I'll update when the video and the presentation becomes available. So I'm kind of looking forward to the video. There was a videographer there, and it was videoed. And I'm telling you, I was treated like royalty. There was a banner, a flashing electronic banner, out on a billboard on right over the interstate in Cape Girardeau, right before you go into Jackson off of, I want to say, I could be wrong, the interstate, I want to say 57, but I think I'm 55 maybe. But coming off the Cape, off of the Cape Bridge, as you're heading towards Jackson, there's an overhead by a Banterra bank that had a flashing billboard with yours truly and my face, Surviving Martial Law, on it, and that I was going to be speaking there. So that was really cool to see that. I didn't get a picture of it or video of it, but somebody's working on that for me. So thank you to Adrian for that, and I am looking forward to collaborating with you and working with you in the future. And I've followed you on Facebook and on Instagram, where you tagged me, and I thank you for that. Reach out to me. I'm definitely looking forward to working with you and maybe putting our heads together and seeing what we can do, if we can make an impact in this world. Moving on, Ted Cruz is on fire. Now, this is 3 days old, but he's being asked questions about what's going on in Texas and on the Mexico-Texas border. And I'm just going to play this clip for you, and you tell me what you think, but I think he's on fire.
Anybody's questions? Yes.
I have one for Senator Cruz, actually. It's about Texas. So the Department of Homeland Security just sent in another letter again demanding access to Shelby Park. Texas is not evacuating, as you know. Instead, deploying even more razor wire. Do you think this will ultimately lead to a showdown between the Federal Border Patrol agents and the National Guard in Texas?
Listen, I'm proud of the great state of Texas. I'm proud of our governor. I'm proud of our state legislature, because they're stepping up and defending our state from invasion. Listen, the mayor of a bunch of blue cities, the governors of a bunch of blue states have declared illegal immigration emergencies in their states. That's true in New York. That's true in Boston. That's true in Massachusetts. That's true in Chicago. That's true in L.A. Eric Adams, the liberal Democrat in New York, has said illegal immigration is destroying New York City. That's 110,000 people are destroying New York City. I agree with him. But if 110,000 people are destroying New York City, what the hell do you think 9.6 million people are doing to Texas and the other states on the southern border? And so Texas is stepping up to defend our state. I'm glad we are. But the reason Texas is doing so is because Joe Biden and Chuck Schumer and the Democrats affirmatively want this invasion. By the way, you want to know why negotiating with these guys, why they're doing it in such bad faith? They are today, as you pointed out. Joe Biden is litigating against the state of Texas to try to stop Texas from securing the border. Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. is the greatest friend the Mexican drug cartels have ever had. He is the greatest financial benefactor the Mexican drug cartels have ever had. He is the single largest human trafficker in history. Now, that may sound like hyperbole, but those 9.6 million people, when they come over and turn themselves in, they tell the Border Patrol agents, I want to go to the following city, and they pick a city. And Joe Biden puts them on planes and puts them on buses and sends them to every city in America, and Joe Biden is the last mile of the human trafficking network. So, yes, Biden is fighting ferociously to stop Texas from defending ourselves. He is wrong. But it shows that Biden wants this, and the only thing Biden wants next is to make Ron Johnson have to buy a bigger poster board because the chart goes higher. That's all he's looking for. What we're talking about today is a different piece of this. Listen, the reason this bill is so lousy is because I actually disagree with Ron Johnson on one thing. He says Mitch McConnell's a terrible negotiator. I actually think Mitch knows exactly what he's doing. He's just negotiating for the same objectives that Chuck Schumer has. They both want a bill that funds Ukraine and is a blank check to Ukraine. And they want a bill that has a fig leaf that pretends to do border security but doesn't actually do border security. They're negotiating for the identical outcome. And Chuck Schumer's enemies in Congress are conservatives in the Senate and our House Republican leadership. And sadly, Mitch McConnell's enemies are conservatives in the Senate and House Republican leadership. You know, it's interesting, the shell game that's been played on the justifications for this bill. Initially, we were told this bill will force Biden finally to secure the border. Okay, that's an objective I'm on board with. Very quickly, the proponents of this bill abandoned that. Said, yeah, we admit, okay, this bill won't do anything to Biden. He'll continue to do exactly what he's doing now. But, they say, this is argument number two, move the shell, move the shell. Argument number two, they say, well, this will give Donald Trump the tools he needs to fix this problem next year. Well, let me point out Ron Johnson's very helpful chart. Without this stinking pile of crap bill, Donald Trump got the numbers down to here. Joe Biden deliberately took the numbers up to here. And the genius Republican negotiators say, let's drop the numbers to here. double where they were under Obama. It's not that they're bad at negotiating. It's that they want this outcome, and this outcome is terrible for the American people.
So I am sick and tired of the Democrats and rhinos like Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham being okay with throwing tons of money into these wars overseas, all this stuff that's going on with, you know, in the Middle East, the attacks that's going on now with the Biden administration in the Middle East and over in Ukraine. All of this, we're worried about Ukraine's boundaries and Russia and their invasion of Ukraine. When we have our very own issues with our own boundaries and our own borders right here at home. Not only that, but I'm sick and tired of not only the Constitution being disrespected and disregarded, but when presidents who's like Biden, whose job it is to enforce border security, is not only winking at it and refusing to enforce border laws, current border laws that we already have on the books, but he is actually empowering and emboldening and welcoming by participating in an invasion. He is causing this situation in the United States to become worse. He is welcoming with open arms fentanyl into our country. He's welcoming with open arms human traffickers into our country. He is welcoming with open arms terrorists into our country because they're coming in under the guise of immigration, like they're immigrants, like they're just peaceful immigrants. All military-aged people, males, most of them. You can't tell me that this isn't a plot to weaken our country, to bring us to our knees, to bring about some kind of globalist agenda. I don't buy it. It's sickening, and I can't believe that it's happening. And the left, all the while, is not being held accountable for this. They are actually committing crimes. Look at the January 6th guy who's been sitting in prison without a trial for 3 years now. 3 years. Hillary Clinton, who destroyed evidence, destroyed her hard drives, got nothing out of it. And now we find out that over 100,000 files from the January 6th committee, the Democrats have taken that information, over 100,000 files, and not only did they encrypt it, but they deleted it when they found out things weren't going their way. Trying to destroy evidence, that's actually a crime. And it's punishable by up to 6 months in prison or $20,000 fines, if I remember right. It's a crime. And nothing is happening. Everything that Biden is doing on the border, closing his eyes, hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil, just like he doesn't even exist. He's just a Muppet, actually. Somebody else is propping him up. I don't believe he's doing this on his own. Because even though Barack Obama had in his own heart, you know, his philosophies for Marxism and stuff, at least he tried to save face. But I really do think that him and Michelle and some of these other people like Soros, some of these other elites that nobody can, the nameless ones, are propping this guy up, and he's just a front man because nobody really cares about him. He's just a front man, and they're doing the job in the background, and he's putting the blame on it, and they're saving face. That's what I believe. That's my rant. Let's get on with the third and final part of Died Suddenly. There shouldn't be much left, maybe 15 minutes or so, 10, 15 minutes or so. And I'm going to throw an ad at the end of that, and I'll come back to say sayonara.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. President. Honorable National Assembly, in January this year, something happened that has not happened for decades. The birth rate fell by 20% compared to the same period last year. Chobo Getot, researcher at the KRTK Institute of Economics, points out that this drastic decline came just 9 months after the COVID mass vaccinations began in Hungary.
Now, I will say, a friend of mine, she just told me this the other day, her mother had volunteered at the hospital prior to COVID. So they called her and said, hey, would you come back in and volunteer? And she volunteered obstetrics, right, babies. So she said, yeah, all right. So they retrained her, and then they called her back and said, I guess there's no point in you coming in. We're not having any babies born.
I never pass up an opportunity when I see a newborn baby.
I stop and I drink it in. Because my heart aches to think that seeing a newborn baby may become one of the rarest things. And I want to be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But so many people have taken this. There's nothing as close to seeing the face of God as seeing a newborn. And you have just evil that is destroying that. And my heart hurts for God. Like, you could give people all of this. And they would use their time, energy, and talents to try and destroy it.
What the last 2 years has taught me is taught me that there is a pure evil in this world. A pure evil that has no respect for any of us, where I can tell you we are regarded in much the same way as livestock.
We were trained that the one thing that prevented adversaries from deploying bioweapons was that in order for them to have a strategic impact, our enemy would have to have a delivery mechanism that would allow them to expose a large enough population of people in a short enough period of time before the people knew they were being attacked. Dispersion in the air would be cumbersome and ineffective given UV light dispersion, wind patterns, and that there are generally not significantly large enough numbers of people outside concentrated in a small area. Likewise, attempting to put them in water would have limited effectiveness because of dilution, degradation from chloride, etc. But what if? What if hundreds of millions of people would willingly, or under the duress of fear, allow themselves to be injected with a bioweapon? What if global mass vaccination could be accomplished in a short period of time by applying relentless coercion tactics and psychological operations to demoralize people into submission?
It's my professional medical opinion that this is a bioweapon and that this was a bioweapon unleashed against humanity with the intent to depopulate and control the population of the world.
But basically, it's achieving its goal. If the goal was to reduce the world's population, it's working.
This has been well planned. This is Agenda 2030. This is the Great Reset. This is what it's all about, you know. So one of the hardest things, knowing what I know, was accepting that people are going to die because they're just not going to believe it.
We have to be the plan. And that means that each person in this room, viewing this broadcast, replaying this broadcast, each one of you has a purpose. Each one of you has a critical, God-given role. And so if you are quiet, or apathetic, or complacent, you have to stand before God, and you have to answer for that.
I can put out a warning to all the people that are in the military right now, officers who are responsible for everything that happens or fails to happen with their troops. If you don't stand in the gap, you're complicit in this crime.
The only way we're going to save our lives is by together, clubbing together to do it. That's our strength. And this is probably the most biblical world event that anyone could ever imagine. It's World War III. This is a spiritual war of good against evil. And I just hope that there's enough good in the world that we can rally together to defeat it. Because if we don't, these monsters will destroy humanity.
Dance, baby, dance like the world is ending. Dance, baby, dance like the world is ending. Dance, baby, dance, cause the world is ending. Dance, baby, dance like the world is ending. Dance, baby, dance like the world is ending. Dance, baby, dance, cause the world is ending.
Get vaccinated. It's incredibly effective, but the truth is, not enough people are getting it. We've got to change that. so we can all have a safe and healthy holiday season.
Getting vaccines, who are believing the lies on the internet instead of science, it's time to start shaming them.
If you refuse to be vaccinated, you shouldn't get the same rights as people who've been vaccinated.
If you're willing to walk among us unvaccinated, you are an enemy.
That choice doesn't seem so tough to me. Vaccinated person having a heart attack? Yes, come right on in. We'll take care of you. Unvaccinated guy who gobbled horse goo? Rest in peace, Wheezy.
Maybe walking the rafter with your head cut off. Maybe walking the rafter with your head cut off.
When are we going to stop putting up with the idiots in this country and just say, you now, it's mandatory to get vaccinated. F*** them. F*** their freedom. I want my freedom to live.
With your head cut off.
Vaccine. I'm begging of you, please don't hesitate. Vaccine. 'Cause once you're dead, then that's a bit too late.
That's it for the Rising Republic. I want to thank everybody for pitching in today, coming over and listening to what's going on. And remember that the Rising Republic is here for you, and I'm here to speak the truth, and I'm not going to hold any punches. So let this be your safe space where you might not be so safe. You guys take it easy, and God bless.
On the brink of blackouts again, as power demand reached an all-time record high overnight, slivers of the Golden State plunged into darkness.
ESCOM says it expects to continue with Stage 6 running blackouts for the rest of the
week. A scheduled outage on Thursday, but the one that happened Sunday, it wasn't scheduled, it was unexpected, and it lasted longer than a day.
Point Zero Energy has given me the American-tested, American-assembled, reliable solar backup that I've been looking for. Their Titan solar generator is American ingenuity at its finest, with a removable, expandable lithium-ion battery, 2,000 watt-hour, 3,000 watt high-efficiency inverter. So what does all that mean to you? It means the Titan can charge your smartphone for 88 hours, your laptop for 35 hours, a CPAP for 108 hours, your refrigerator for 26.8 hours. Get to pointzeroenergy.com today for the all-American solution to backup power.